I started the sugar fast, and my birthday was 2 or 3 days later, and it's my birthday. So I deserve a couple of martinis, because it's my birthday. F*** you, Joe.
Well, hi, friends, and welcome to the dinner table. Every week, my name, well, all my life, my name is Aislinn Campbell.
I'm Joe Hillier this week, thinking of changing it next week, but for now, we'll just go with that.
No, I love being Aislinn, because today I had the thought that you can't be a Patricia or a Karen when you're an Aislinn. You just can't be.
Is there a more common name than Joe?
Yeah, Joe the plumber. You're Joe. Yeah,
it's very
Joe
common.
Blow. Joe.
But when I'm with you in a social situation,
my
it's interesting to be around
you.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Yeah,
and it matches you, Aislinn. Yeah. That's a
but
very...
I can promise you, at the age of 12, I didn't want to be Aislinn.
Here's what makes my name uncommon: is it Joseph? Is the question I'll
always,
get?
Always, yeah.
No, just Joe on your birth certificate. Yep, just Joe, because most Joes are Josephs.
And then his middle name is Keen.
Okay.
Right? So when I first met him, he told me his middle name. And for a while, I thought his name was Joe King.
K-I-N-G.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, he's literally Joe King.
Yeah.
He's Joe King. They named him Joe King.
It's a joke.
And that makes really good sense for this guy. And you were like, no, it's Keen. And you showed me your driver's license.
Would you rather be joking or smelling? All right. What are we talking about?
I don't know, but we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk to the point of there's been a lot of recent conversations about talking to ourselves. And one of the things that happens in our house, I mean, you could literally put a secret poll to anyone that has ever lived in this house with us, with you and me together.
That's a test segment of six.
A test segment of six.
Right.
And ask whether or not Joe talks to himself.
Okay.
And
what would the results be?
Across the board, 6 out of 6 people would respond, Joe speaks to himself.
I would say yes, yes. In that poll.
Yeah, exactly.
So what?
I noticed that someone had asked that question today, am I crazy if I talk to myself? Right. I definitely talk to myself too. But what I learned from you and also from gardening and grounding and being out in the garden is that it's actually okay to talk to myself out loud. Your talking to yourself is a bit different than my talking to myself.
How so?
Well, because I talk to things.
Hello, bird.
Right. And I talk to...
Hello, flower.
But also the computer. Things that wouldn't necessarily be considered potentially sentient.
Uh-huh.
I talk to everything. I just talk and talk and talk to everything. But I think you actually talk to yourself. Yes? Am I right about that?
Oftentimes, I catch myself doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I do it in the shower.
Well, a lot of people do. That's probably a type of channeling, actually. I've heard that a lot.
What I'm doing is having imaginary conversations. I'm working through a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working down traps in a conversation. I don't mean traps in the, I'm getting trapped,
yes.
But rather if he says this and then I'll say this. And then what if he says this, then I'd say this. It's unconscious. I don't go into it hey, Joe, let's work out the conversation where you admit or don't admit that you had gas station cupcakes, right? Which will happen later in the episode. What have I come up with in my mind, in my imaginary working through the conversation? So I'll be doing something like that in the shower, and I'll stop. And I'll wonder, is she on the other side of this curtain listening to me?
Sometimes I am.
And what did I just say? What have I been saying for the last 5 minutes or whatever it is?
Well, that goes back to me. I always say that I always feel like you kind of bumble around in the world. And I know that sounds like, it doesn't sound fair. And I also have given him a lot of recent...
It doesn't sound complimentary.
That's what I was going to say. Uh-huh. I've given you plenty of compliments about...
They've been coming strangely level of...
It's interesting to
frequency.
Just be able to see things in a different way. But I've said you kind of bumble around because you're always inside your head.
Yes.
And...
You have said that, and I'm coming to terms with that being the truth.
Yeah, and so as I've gotten into this space and have learned a lot about what I've learned, the reason why I got into the garden and the reason why I had to make a purposeful decision to root in to where I'm from, right now, I have rooted into this place. When I got a divorce, I knew the only way I could ever stay with my children, be with my children, is that I would have to be rooted to this land. until my kids, you know, left and went on their own way and maybe weren't here anymore, right? So I had to force myself to ground and to root in. Well, now the space and time we're in 2021 and kind of some of those things I've been talking about shifting and us moving into maybe some different dimensions and understanding and duality is that we have to be both grounded, so actually physically present in ourself, in our body, in our human, but also able to travel in our minds. And what happens with you is that you stay in the future. You're in your mind creating something that's not even actually happening.
I would imagine then your next sentence would be in a lack of being grounded.
And you know what? That also ties into something which I wrote down here, but I didn't exactly know how we would get there. But I have brought to you an idea that I want to learn Tantra, which a lot of people are going to immediately go to tantric sex, which this helps me. I think part of the reason why you are, we've been talking about sex life and the things we've been talking about, like you're so grounded in sex is because that's where you ground. That's where you actually ground. But you can't stay in your head the entire time during sex because you are physically present at some, at least 1 second of the event. And it is very physical.
So here's what I knew about tantric sex before we started doing a little research about it. Mm-hmm. And you know me, and unanswered questions is really all about, and you're involved, of course, is me like, I don't know that, and I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
mm-hmm.
a fact that I don't know.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm just not aware that that fact exists that mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, that's not completely fair. We actually know everything and nothing all in the same moment
of
in
course.
Time.
Yes, yes, yes. I bring the desire to use concrete examples to try to explain, and you always like to throw in the metaphysical things that are very hard to explain. But here's what I know about tantric sex before I do one bit of research about it. If a sex act takes X time, mm-hmm. tantric sex takes much longer than that.
Yes.
And sting does it. That's all I know.
Right, exactly.
About tantric sex.
Yes. Well, what has come to me recently where it came is that I've been studying like the energy codes and Kundalini yoga and some of that stuff. And basically part of my massive healing stuff that I've done over the last year has been very much about my sacral chakra.
Right.
And I am very, very lit up by my sacral chakra. I am bright red and I create power, and it's very actually pretty masculine. And this year has been fully learning how to get into my empathic nature, my intuitive nature, which is actually more goddess and feminine, and be willing to receive. And so it's actually been really, really good for our sex life for me to begin to understand my body better.
Sure.
For men, it's basically holding, there's a self-discipline in not letting the tipping point come. And you know what the tipping point is.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And for women, it's very different. Because we flow and
men
we
and women are different.
Well, yes. Well, but I can tell you the safety in like studying Tantra, which yoga is the unity of life and all the things that come with it, and then tying it back into one of the most profound things that we do as human beings that connects us with the greatest source that ever existed is sex. There's a trust and a safety that I'm really, really, really being turned on by.
I think we've said sex, the word, enough for people to continue being tuned in. Why do I talk to myself so much? I'm my favorite person.
That's fucking great.
Unanswered questions.
Well, that should lead us very well into you telling us a little bit about this whole sugar fast experience you're going through. If you love yourself and you think you're great, then how has that experience
Have you ever been in a
that?
Relationship with someone that you love and then you look up and it's been a while, a period of time, whatever that period of time is, and you're like, I still love them just as much, but I'm not showing it. I'm not demonstrating it. Well, that's where I have got with myself.
Oh, and yes, that's, yes. So you have a personality about you that centrally
No,
core
I was treating myself
yourself.
Poorly.
Uh-huh.
We treat the people we love the most, the poorest often.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We allow ourselves to be ourselves with the people we love the most because we feel a comfort there. We feel a safety there. People can certainly relate to what I'm talking
about.
This
goes to that thing that I've been recently saying over and over again about path of least resistance. It's easier.
Yeah.
It's easier to let your stresses and frustrations go at the easiest place for that to occur, where it's going to
sure.
most easily happen with the least amount of pain for you. and yourself is very easy to beat up on.
So 2 weeks ago, I said, I'm going to do a sugar fast. The idea that a restart in diet would be helpful for several reasons. I'm clearly engaging in some habits, and this is the funniest thing about diet, exercise, you know, when someone in your life loses a bunch of weight or really looks good or gets themselves fit, however you want to frame that. And we ask them the question, my God, you look great. How did you do it? And you know the answer because you already know how to do it yourself. You just don't do it yourself.
You know what? I don't know that I agree with you on that. Okay. I don't think people know how to do it. I think there are just enough people now waking up to say, this is how you do it. I think
there's head knowledge in everyone's head, but the heart knowledge is missing. The heart behind it to do the things we know we need to do.
No, I just don't think people know how it works.
Well, without getting bogged down in that, I know how it works for me. Because I've done it so many times, and I frog in boiling water. Over time, slowly, I cheat here, I cut this corner, and you get to a place where you're like, whoop, I'm here again. Time
of course,
time
path of least resistance ratchet, to exactly what you
time
know.
Time to ratchet down, time to get it all back together. So I'm 11 days into this thing because mm-hmm. you'll remember last week, and this was such a disappointment. I mean, I wanted to be honest, but when in editing last week's podcast and listening to it again, mm-hmm. I was so disappointed in myself because, well, you know, I started the sugar fast and my birthday was 2 or 3 days later and it's my birthday. So I deserve a couple of martinis because it's my birthday. Fuck you, Joe. This is me
be
talking
nice
to myself.
To Joe. I like him.
Okay, fine. I'll give myself a break. Start over the day after my birthday. But I realized after listening to last week's episode again that I didn't use a specific word that I should have. Cravings.
Uh-huh.
Whenever you do something every day and then you stop doing it on mm-hmm. purpose for whatever mm-hmm. reason, mm-hmm. you crave those things. And those cravings come in weird, weird ways when we're talking about sugar, which is a drug that we are overdosing on in this country, mm-hmm. right? So those cravings are gone. 11 days in, I don't have the cravings. Oh, I want those cupcakes. Oh, I want that piece of cake. You know, mm-hmm. Oh, I want that beer.
Mm-hmm.
And we went camping this past weekend. We're going to talk about that in depth in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
But I had going into the camping trip, well, damn it. We have gone on this camping trip with these friends for several years in a row now.
Yes. I went years before I knew
you. Of course, of course. But what I remember was, I better go down to the liquor store and get myself the finest craft beers I can find because we're going to sit around
mm-hmm.
in the evenings especially
mm-hmm.
and drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to be able to, you know.
Yeah. I was actually so proud of you. I don't know if I could do it.
Oh, I took a 12-pack of sparkling water, and I took a very large jug of lime juice, and my cocktail all weekend was sparkling water with a lot of lime juice in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have those cravings at all, and I didn't get any shit from anybody at all. You know what I mean? Sometimes,
right.
you know, it's like, hey, well, where's your beers? You want a beer? I got a beer. You want a beer? Hey, beer, 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 beer.
I will tell you, I had one moment where I happened to be kind of floating next to Jessica, and I was like, we're not snobs. We're not trying to be ugly, because you had walked up to a group of people that there was like, I guess there was an ice chest that we had some of our stuff in. And then they were like, oh, well, just here, we have a Miller Lite. And you were like, no, thank you. And I'm like, we're not snobs. We love you. You can choose whatever you choose. We just are dealing with some things.
I hope no one thought I was being snobby.
No, I don't. I'm sure I internalized that.
But
I think Jessica literally said, oh, they're not thinking about you that much.
Right.
I was like, thank
you. I think the same thing. But I did think about this after the fact. If I was there with my craft beer friends, it would have been a much more difficult weekend for me. But the idea that this particular group of people tends to go to the Miller Lights and the Michelob Ultras and things that I don't want anyway, mm-hmm. there wasn't a lot of internal peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm FOMO.
That's really all that it is. Exactly. Yeah.
I don't eat gas station cupcakes.
Thank God.
What
I was
happened
like, certainly
last
I broke
week,
you of that. A long time ago.
I was you broke me of it?
If there was ever any
there
of that
never
in you.
No.
Well, I used to be married to a guy that ate the Little Debbies. And
understood.
I don't mean to be ugly about it. And my kids still eat that crap.
But
they
now
still
you're
love
fake
it,
married to a guy that says there's nothing healthy to eat at a convenience store. There's no reason to buy food at a convenience store outside of maybe peanuts, mixed nuts. Other than that, you got nothing.
When you met me, I
water
introduced you to Michael Pollan, who
food
said,
rolls, yeah.
yeah, don't buy your food in the same place you buy your gasoline, which I don't necessarily agree with that 100%.
In where we live, no one cares about customer service at a gas station, so your receipt when you prepay at the pump does not come out.
I think we have one corporate entity down here that does it on purpose.
Well, I know that there's a competing gasoline company that always has their shit filled up, and yeah, you never have to go get a receipt. So that means that it can be done.
I choose my gas based on the places that give me receipts where I don't have to go inside the store. So know that, companies
what
that are not.
What I think that you're saying
right
is that they're not giving you the receipt to force you to go inside, so that maybe if you go inside when you weren't intending to, you make an impulse purchase.
Like a cupcake?
So I went inside to get my receipt because the pump wasn't going to give it to me. Clerk has a receipt. The little screen mm-hmm. says, well, and then you go in to get your receipt. You can't cut to the front of the line and go, hey, can you do a 2-second thing and give me a receipt? Because everyone who's already in line doesn't know why
you're
there.
And if I know which gas station you're at the really long line one, and everybody there is
I'm always at the really long line one. So I'm in line to get the thing, and I start analyzing and judging the woman in front of me who's got, among a lot of other things, cupcakes.
Yeah. You're so judgy. You shouldn't judge people. They're in their own path.
This is coming from
the
woman who says
journey.
Her number one judgment is going to the grocery store and looking at people's baskets. So I'm not even going to listen to your criticism, you hypocrite. I go back to the office and I'm telling a woman that works with me this story. Uh-huh. And this woman has recently lost a lot of weight.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very proud of her. She's very proud of herself.
Yeah.
She asks me questions all the time about how to get a little bit healthier.
Yeah.
I got all the answers, but don't look at my belly right now. and I tell her the story, and I was like, have you ever got gas station cupcakes?
Uh-huh.
Hostess, the ding-dongs.
Exactly what you're talking about. And if I'm going to eat a ding-dong, I want it to come from Sugar Bakers.
Right.
Hello, Christian, could you please?
Hello, homemade ding-dong.
Actually, I can't eat any of that anymore, but it does sound so delicious.
I did tell her that day when I was experiencing massive cravings, damn, those cupcakes look good. So I would like some cupcakes. That was that story.
Like gas station
now,
cupcakes.
This is the conversation that I've rehearsed in my own head and out loud. It is time for us to talk about, for the first time ever, the biggest non-secret in this home.
It's that you eat at midnight?
It's that I eat late at night.
Yeah.
And I eat a lot.
I know.
And the kids know. Because
everybody knows.
Because I eat their food. When I'm eating late night, I'm not eating Aislinn's food. I'm eating the kids' food. Bowls of cereal.
Mm-hmm.
A peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
And you're asleep because you tend to go to bed earlier than I do.
Yeah.
And I had, because this is done. I'm done with this. This is behavior that's being excised from my life. But someone listening is doing this.
You know that you've made space for it, though. So you do have to close the door on it.
Okay.
Because there's paths of least resistance that will take you right back to that spot.
Right. So 2 weeks ago, you said, as you go through this, be sure to note your triggers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Last week, you renamed that a...
activation. Let's give it some positivity.
Sure.
We can do cool shit with the triggers. Let's activate.
So I have gone and begun doing research about late night eating.
Mm-hmm.
And 75% of the web articles are bullshit about it.
Mm-hmm.
Eat more protein during the day.
Because they don't know anything. Did anybody talk about blocking the paths of least resistance to old habits that you don't want anymore?
Well, there is talk of specific nighttime eating disorders, but I'm not going to even put myself into that. I have gotten to the place where it's about control, a resentment of you and the food control maybe that you have in our home.
And then if I'm asleep, you could do it when I'm asleep?
Ah, and not only that, but I'm going to be doing all of the things that I knew that if you were awake and present in the room with me, you'd be getting on to me about.
I will not get on to you about any of you. Anything.
But not getting on to me in any kind of naggy. I want to be real clear. Not a naggy. You're not nagging. I don't think you're judging. It's more like, hey, dude, what the hell?
I would like you to live at least as long as a 42-year-old man lives.
Because you're 42.
42, right.
I mean, it was bad, Aislinn. It was bad.
I know.
Eating a whole box of cereal over the course of several nights that was purchased for your daughter.
I know.
And then she goes to get the cereal and there is no cereal in the box.
The kids complain. Like, could you tell Joe to stop night cockroach eating all of the cereal?
Yeah.
I find food in the bed.
No, what?
Well, there was a couple times.
I would never do it next to you for fear of waking you up. It's
hidden. You must have been doing it.
It's my thing. It's my... rotten thing.
And also the dog knows to go straight. As soon as he wakes up in the morning, he goes straight for the couch to find what I left, you left, anybody left around on the couch.
Well, I'd like to think that the dog was disappointed over the course of the last.
I think I fulfilled him with some.
You did.
Chocolate caramel thing.
Oh, okay. We've talked way too long. How am I doing on a sugar? Okay, first of all, consult your doctor, blah, blah, blah. But if you are eating improperly when it comes to sugar, and I don't mean a bag of sugar and a spoon. I'm talking about the American diet. 99.9999% of the food available at the grocery store that is not good for you and has all kinds of hidden and not so hidden sugars in it. It is difficult for that first week. But after the first week, it is nothing but feeling good about yourself. The triggers, though, the activations, are really, you're right, Aislinn, you were right when you said this 2 weeks ago, really worth exploring. Because it's that root thing. And I'm still exploring. I've got no firm.
As you start to deep dive, you might figure out that you're a very old soul. Because you're alongside me, and I can tell you're wise. And if that's the case, then it could take the rest of your life to keep unloading the layers of things that the old soul is carrying with it.
1 year ago today.
Time warp. What are we doing here?
A year ago, we did episode 1.47, and the food was a Caprese burger.
Well, the timing of that is absolutely perfect because two things. Today was looking up recipes for how to use basil, because we have a lot of basil. Two, we have that big burger farm-to-table dinner on Tuesday next week, so it must be perfect time to have hamburgers and basil.
It's funny how seasonality does that to you. But one thing we talked about was we fried some okra. Where's the okra? We haven't fried okra. Where's the okra?
Excuse me, but there's a whole bowl of okra going bad in the refrigerator right now.
For real?
You haven't cooked in quite a while. It's as if you gave up on cooking after
a long
weekend.
It's as if I cooked seven things the night before we went camping and then we brought a bunch of it back home.
And then worked your tail off to get everything ready and going. And yes, you did. That's
is the okra in the fridge friable?
Sure, absolutely. Okay. That's actually the best way to use it because it's not super pretty anymore, so you can just chop it up and fry.
I realize how much I love fried okra.
I love fried okra.
This time last year, you told a story about how you saw a ghost when you were growing up in high school?
I did, yes.
Have you seen any ghosts in the last 12 months?
Okay, so over the time that I have been talking on this podcast, I've been talking a lot about my sensory overload, a lot of the things that they have coined kind of mental disorders, I have shifted into understanding our superpowers, right? And rather than labeling them something like PTSD or even empathy for that matter, because that's become I'm an empathic personality, right? But getting into an understanding that I actually can feel people. I can feel energy. I can feel people that have passed. I'm a clairsentient, and I have learned that recently, and it gets louder and louder and louder the more that I say it out loud. The idea of talking to myself, when I say I don't really talk to myself, I don't really talk to myself. I'm just the only human being standing there talking in that moment. You can't see what I can see. Most people can't feel what I can feel. And things that I knew as a child, in college, you know, all of those things, I would feel them and then I would just kind of like throw them out there in this kind of like, well, yeah, some people believe in that, yada, yada, yada. But I never really tapped in to understanding. And the thing about it is that I'm no more special or less special than anyone else. Everyone has their superpowers. Everyone has the ability to be a feeler. But this is the one that by birth, I probably was born this way, but also because of the life and trauma and things that I have been through in life, I have learned this skill. And so in answer to your question, I see dead people all the time.
So it's time to prep for a camping trip. Mm-hmm. And this is where the first conversation is, what are we going to eat?
And mostly they run the kitchen. They run the center, you know, of the cooking, the camping kitchen.
Yeah, let's lay that out. There's several friends. Several of them have campers. A couple of them have tents. We'll usually throw a tent up.
Right.
But then there's a community area, covered area. There's a big camp stove and camp kitchen.
Yeah.
And that's where when we show up and they're going to do one of the guys' family recipe of chicken.
Right.
well, you're not going to eat that meat.
Right. And so we had that conversation.
And then the next night we're going to do a big fish fry. Well, what's the batter? It's all corn. Okay. Then Aislinn can eat that. We can really participate.
Yep. So I thought to myself, okay, I think the best thing that we can do.
Breakfast tacos every morning.
Right. Exactly. The best thing we can do, especially with all the fresh produce that I was having, is to make the side things and to make things we could eat during the daytime so that people can make sandwiches or add things to sandwiches or, you know, snack on things. So
here's how it goes down. Aislinn says, Joe, here's what I want you to make.
Yes, literally. I'm going to make you a list.
Remember that chicken salad? We talked about it a few episodes ago. I want some of that.
Yep.
I also want some pimento cheese.
Yes, but I want it a certain way.
I asked, you want me to buy a tub of pimento cheese from the grocery store?
No way. That is the worst.
You know those cucumber sandwiches you made? We talked about those a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Make the guts of it into a dip. Uh-huh. I want that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I want this thing called, we call it down here in Texas, Texas caviar. Mm-hmm. We'll get into all of this.
Because I got all these black-eyed peas coming out of the garden.
Oh, yeah. Hey, they're doing a fish fry. Make slaw.
Uh-huh. Yep. Fish fry, got cabbage, let's make slaw.
And I got a piece of paper and a pen and I'm writing all this down. I'm like, geez, woman. Yeah. And then make a good batch of that cucumber, tomato, onion salad that we talked about a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because now I can bring out the sides when they start pulling out food, right?
And that night they're making chicken, we'll need, mm-hmm. I ate the chicken, something else. Mm-hmm. What about a steak, baby?
Yeah, because if you make me a steak, somebody could even throw all pieces of steak on their sandwich the next
day. You can gnaw on that all weekend
mm-hmm.
long.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's just trying to make it real easy for everybody.
So the night or two nights before we leave on the trip. Oh, and then I'm like, you know what I need? What we're going to need and what we're going to need at the new house and what I fucking hate at our house? The Tupperware situation.
Oh, yeah.
We live in a house where people can't take a base that's clean, find the lid that's clean, connect them, and put them into a cabinet.
We live in every house in America or in the world that uses Tupperware.
Nope. Not your parents' house. Anyway, so I say this is an occasion for me to throw out all of the Tupperware and buy our next house's, it's not Tupperware, it's whatever they sell at the stores, but it's food storage.
You know, like in the 70s, y'all. We got ourselves some Tupperware down here in
Texas. Two big boxes of brand new, beautiful, gleaming, no stains or grease or on it Tupperware.
You did, and they were so good.
And I filled them up with all of the things that we mentioned.
Keeping in mind with his whole Tupperware invention thing here that he's done.
What's new?
Is that we're coming to this event without some sort of a air-conditioned, plugged-in refrigerator.
It's all going to stay in a cooler.
We're putting it in a cooler, but we're bringing, like, the Sunday brunch cold salads. All the stuff that needs to be refrigerated.
So we found a recipe for pimento cheese, and this is so easy to make. You don't cook anything, but you grate up your cheese because you don't buy the pre-grated cheese.
No.
And then you add your cream cheese, then you add your mayo, then you add, I added some of my garlic paste, my new favorite thing that I have in my kitchen, a little dash of cayenne pepper. You said, why don't you grate the onion?
Uh-huh.
I did that. Grated fresh onion into this mix.
Listen, this is an important part of this. This pimento cheese is an important conversation because pimento cheese is serious in the South. And you had to have granny, nanny, nana, nana's recipe for pimento cheese. And it came up in the conversation. As a matter of fact, most of the stuff that you cooked came up in all the conversations over the weekend because people were really impressed. And every time I would get the gratitude for it, I would be like, oh no, I didn't do that. You thank Joe over there. And it was funny to watch all of those men be like, hey, Joe, man, your pimento cheese, your chicken salad is very good. Thank you. I'm so glad you. And then it became camaraderie of food.
Thanks, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to shit on your fried fish,
which
was incredible.
Well, the men were doing most of the cooking this weekend, truthful, on a camping trip. But the deal about it is that I took kind of the old school grandma's recipe, which is very important because the grated and like using actual raw onion in the recipe was an important part of it. And also using real sharp cheddar cheese was an important part of the deal too.
Right.
But the new way of making it, you add cream cheese to it to make it a little more blended, to make it a little smoother, more like a dip or a spread instead of just like a thick, chunky cheese stuff. And it went well. The mixture of all of that came together. So when you're trying out making pimento cheese, those of y'all that maybe haven't or are trying to find the best pimento cheese recipe, consider that the onion part of it is as equally important as the creaminess of the cream cheese.
And then a 4-ounce jar that I had to buy of the pimentos.
Pimentos, right. Yeah.
Put that all in a bowl. Mix, 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 mix. Put that in your Tupperware. One down, 6 more things to go.
But you, I kept hearing you say, oh, this is easy. Oh, this is easy. So often.
Oh, there might be some dramatic effect going on for the sake of the show.
I actually had gone up early and had gotten there, you know, ahead of time, because I know that if I get there ahead of time before the crowds start to get there, then I can spend a little private time with Chris and Jessica. And I was in the Jessica's trailer, pulled out these little snacks to eat on. And then all of a sudden, you know, Chris and the guys, folks that were already
coming
there,
off the boat,
started coming in off the boat, coming in. And Chris walks up to the door, opens the door up, and I say, hey, you hungry? I got some food here. And he's telling me, man, we really needed this. We were all like too much already early in the day. We were sinking. Yeah, that kind of thing. So I'm sending Joe pictures of like, hey, man, thanks for like feeding the family. And over the years, I have begun to recognize a lot of the similarities between you and Chris. And you guys are both Cancer signs. But I can see that in y'all. And I can see the wanting to be surrounded by a lot of friends and family. You know, that community spirit that you have. And it makes sense to me why you're always like wanting to connect with your bros, like wanting to get guy friends, you know, because Chris is very much like that. He's always surrounded by a whole posse of friends. Just this good feeling of people coming together every year to celebrate this person's birthday. And we all have our part that we bring to the table. And every year it's gotten even better as we've all melded together. And it shifts. Just like y'all have heard me talk about the girls' weekend. Same group of friends, but the women, just all the women. We go up to Wimberley and we spend the whole weekend up there. It's usually my birthday weekend. So we get some of that celebration going. And we've gone through phases because we've been doing this for 15 years. And over that time, we've seen life, death, birth, divorce, marriage, everything. We've seen everything. And new friends and old friends and some that came in and some that weren't really invited back and some that were like beg them to come back and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
Well, that's like a recipe of itself, is creating the vibe with the people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do Texas Caviar now? I mean, is it worth talking about Texas Caviar?
Just very quickly.
Okay, this is another no-cook recipe. It's basically putting a bunch of stuff into a bowl. But my God, was this popular.
It was very popular.
Came out every single meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a bowl, you would use, and this is canned on the recipe.
But we used fresh as much as we could.
I did use one can of black beans.
Yes.
Because we didn't have those.
Yes.
But you, of course, are putting away black-eyed peas in the freezer. So
yep.
I quick cooked in the Instant Pot
yep.
some black-eyed peas to try to duplicate the consistency that they are when they come out of a can.
Mm-hmm.
The firmness, the mouthfeel of it.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 cans worth of that. Then your black beans. Then 2 cups of corn. Used a can of corn because all of our fresh corn's gone. Red onion, bell pepper, all diced finely.
Mm-hmm.
Red bell pepper.
All fresh stuff that we had.
This is all fresh. Jalapeno, mm-hmm. garlic, cilantro, scallions. Skip that. Didn't have those.
You had to buy cilantro, though.
I did. Yeah, that was weird because I used cilantro about a week and a half ago.
Yeah, it's too much.
All
now.
Done.
Yeah.
Olive oil, red wine vinegar, salt, and the juice of 1 lime.
Mm-hmm.
Fluff it together in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Let me do my thing. Mix, 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 mix. And then put that in a brand new Tupperware.
Yes.
It was delicious. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And very Southern, along with the whole rest of that.
I'll put that recipe up with the Southern pimento cheese recipe up on our social media.
Yeah. So, okay. Here's the deal. Technically, he had a huge failure this weekend.
Who
y'all.
Did?
You did. You did. You had a huge, we talked about it all weekend long. All weekend long.
Oh, shit. You went up early. You had taken a few things with you,
right.
including that pimento cheese.
I took the things I might need that
sure.
day.
And then I, but.
You trailed back.
I screwed up. You're
screwed
saying
up.
I screwed up.
Yeah.
Okay. As I'm getting all of my new Tupperwares and putting them in the cooler and getting my cooler set up with my drinks and everything else, I saw this huge bag of fresh produce that looked new in the refrigerator. I think I had to move it. And I was like, what the hell?
This he is makes all- lists, y'all. Really, really extensive lists that he prints off of like the internet. And he marks things out and he makes lists. But then he doesn't like bring the things that are on the list.
No.
Like you there said, were more than one, but this is the only one that even mattered.
I didn't bring the vegetables because it would have been beautiful on the side of that chicken, on the side of our steak, to foil wrap maybe and put on the grill some of your, what was it, squash? Just,
and bell peppers, a few Anaheims, poblanos, and then it also had some delicious cucumbers that we could use for dipping.
I'm so sorry. Okay. Next time.
Such a failure. I did take a delicious fruit salad.
And I saw that in the refrigerator and I actually took it.
Yeah, these were fruits that were out and about, some ripening, not ripening, things I had to harvest. And I had to get something done with them or they were going to go bad while we were gone. Underripe melons, the pears that had been kind of gotten all janky from the tree that we had just pulled off, and then these delicious figs that are coming off the tree. Threw some honey on top of it, a little bit of lime juice, and some tahine. I don't know if you guys know what do you know exactly what tahine is? It's chili powder and salt and lime, I think.
Right, but it's actually the stuff mixed that you get on the rim of your glass that's red if you get a margarita that's got like a spicy, salty kick on that. That's what that is.
But it's in the mainstream in Texas now because we drink those ranch water. So a lot of the tahine, we eat a lot of fruit cups with tahine on it. So if you're not from the South Texas region, you might not know what that is. But if you like chili, lime, salt on your stuff, that's a thing you might look into. Tahine, T-A-J-I-N.
Yeah, I did print out a list. You making fun of me?
It was no, I'm not making fun of you. You know why?
Because it had been 2 years.
Put the whole thing together.
I know.
And I literally said to him the night before we were about to leave,
Don't forget my vegetables.
Thank you.
You didn't say that.
For helping with this part. Because he, I've said this before about you, like you have this ability to like, in the moment when it's all occurring, to just like put it all together, set the path. But then I guess I just sometimes I forget about you that your actual original education was in creating paths, right? Like creating systems.
I'm a logician.
Right. What logistics. There you go. There you go. Yeah. Yes. That's exactly it. It's the logistics.
So 2 days before we go. When
it drives me crazy. I can't handle it. I'm
like
a freak. I like want to hide. And I wasn't going to complain either way because you're doing
all the
work.
Because I was very obsessive about it. So I had printed out a list, a camping checklist. And these are things that I all know, but it's nice to have a succinct list so that you can go, oh yeah, don't forget the sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Do we have sunscreen? I don't have any sunscreen. Do you have any sunscreen? No. Oh, on another list, buy sunscreen.
Mm-hmm.
2 days before the thing, I put the tent back out. It had been 2 years since we used it. Was it all mildewed and nasty? Mm-hmm. Did it need a good airing out?
Yes.
Put that out. There was a break in the weather in the backyard. There's a tent up all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm.
Check that air mattress.
Because these are the
shit
types of things when it comes to camping. Like people that don't have a lot of experience with camping then all of a sudden just try to go camping. Mm-hmm. The best part of camping is figuring out how to be as efficiently comfortable as you possibly can be living outside.
And I would add personally, taking as little as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Efficient.
So, oh crap, Hunter took the air pump for the air mattress with him to school.
Ah, yes.
Need to go buy an air pump.
Yep.
What are we going to do with the dog? We're taking the dog, right?
This was the best part of the whole trip, y'all. I was so in love with it. Well, he's going to need a life jacket. Joe, you got to go get him a life jacket.
I have to buy a life jacket for a dog? 48 years old, never done. How old am I? 49 years old, never done that. So I finally found a life jacket for a dog that small, tiny little toy poodle.
Yes, he was so good, y'all. He swam.
Yeah,
he loved it.
That was my first question. Did the dog get in the water? How'd the dog do?
He was great, and he was really good at it. Like he would follow me all around, and then as soon as I could get to a place where I could get up on a float or whatever, I'd pull him up out of the water and let him sit in my lap on the float. We paddle boarded together, you guys. Mm-hmm. We rode on the boat together. We went big swimming, like jumped off the boat and went swimming.
I didn't say this while we were talking about food a little while ago, but how many times did Bob and Chris say out loud, 100% of the fish you're eating tonight was caught in that lake?
Yeah.
Which, of course, makes us feel 100% great about it.
Yeah,
because
let's
eat local fish.
Yeah.
Let's eat the fish right out of the lake that we're swimming in during the day.
For them, the local sourcing part of it is important, too. They're hunters. They're game hunters. So, I mean, and they take it very seriously. Chris is actually a bow hunter, like my brother.
Yeah.
and brings in Wild Hog. I think for my birthday every year, they give me a mess of like meat, you know, basically.
A big bunch of hogs.
So, yeah, they're fantastic. And so in think that about way, that.
You've got the boat available.
Yep.
You're down by the lake now.
Yep, yep.
There's a grassy area.
Yeah.
So we got our blanket out. We got the coolers out. We got our Bluetooth speakers going. People are fighting over who's going to be the DJ. A lot of country music. When Asen's on DJ, there's a little bit more Kanye than may have been in the mix otherwise. Then, of course, it's a state park in Texas, so you've got your hiking trails. And you and I think, alone took advantage of that, because when we go almost anywhere, we like to find some outdoor area to go
trekking.
Yeah, and look at the nature that's available in different parts of the country or state.
Look at the plants and all that.
So you and I are walking through the trails.
Yeah, we actually did. I don't know if all of the audience that listens to this knows this, but I actually do a live garden video every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. It's on my Facebook page. My name, Aislinn Campbell. It's a business page. So if you want to check that out, I hope you will. It's actually already the live from our state park is actually already up there. But I also can toss it over to my YouTube channel and you can check it out there.
So you did it live from the park.
I did. And I got to see some Texas persimmons, which was a lot of fun. I'm excited about that. And then somebody asked me what that was and I was able to identify it because I had seen it before.
Didn't shower once.
Okay, so this is the thing about beginning to understand how to get really understanding camping, understanding how to get comfortable, because I am perfectly comfortable with being a dirty girl. But listen, I will tell you what, when there aren't really any very comfortable places to take a shower other than dipping your swamp ass in the lake,
right.
which I did as many times a day as I possibly could. And you get a little sticky and you got bug spray all over you. And you had asked me on your list, do we need wipes? Do we need wipes?
Wipes, personal wipes.
Right. From now on, the answer is that is a staple part because...
Oh, the wipes were a hit.
I want to be able to wipe down... I mean, I need to clean my hot spots.
Uh-huh.
You know? And wipe the freaking... bug spray. Well, that's a hot spot. Those are hot spots.
Yeah.
But also wipe that bug spray off of my stuff. So yeah, you got to have those. You got to have some wipes.
Didn't poop one time. That's normal.
Oh, I did. But you know what? Everything aligned perfectly. It was
my body knew the moment that I walked into the house. Joe, do not pass go.
I used to walk in. I don't go to Target anymore. I don't shop. I hate that shit. Y'all all, I think everybody knows that at this point. Every time I would walk in a Target, I had to go poop. I had a Target trigger for my poop indicator.
I've got lists in my mind. I've got lists on my phones of things I want to buy someday.
What's that?
One of them was new headlamps.
Oh, yeah.
And while sporting goods store to pick up the dog's life jacket, let me assess my flashlight situation. How am I feeling about flashlights? How am I feeling about lanterns? You know, because you set up your tent. We have a very large tent. Then you set up your air mattress. I'll get back to it. Then you set up your air mattress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Set up the air mattress. Then you, we brought a big fan that we keep in our backyard.
Yes.
We're building our home. Mm-hmm. Coffee.
Coffee. Uh-huh. Gotta have electricity.
Gotta have coffee. I get us each a headlamp. I know that you can use headlamps in your late evening gardening.
Yes.
A headlamp is just a very convenient flashlight to own. This headlamp had multiple settings.
Mm-hmm.
You push the button once, it's very bright. You push the button again, it's a little less bright. You finally get to a green light.
Mm-hmm.
It's green.
Hmm.
This became our erotic light.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, I don't know if we want to talk about this or not.
Oh, we're entertaining. Like, we are always entertaining.
Well, we entertained everybody on night one. And the next day.
Well, we've been practicing tantra.
A guy, no, tantra hadn't come up in our life yet. Those words
hadn't. Okay, well, we were discussing our sex life then.
That's right. And a guy.
We talked about the Australian dong and that happened.
Who I met. I don't even know how to clarify that. A guy that I met that weekend who I really, really liked a lot.
He was a great, fun character.
Addition to the community.
Yes.
The next morning he goes, if that green light goes on again in y'all's tent tonight, we're all bringing our chairs and we're just going to put them around.
Was that when you were winning? Or was that right after you were winning
their money? Okay, so they play a game left, right, center. They've turned it into a money game. It's low stakes, four quarters, get you to play, and the winner gets the pot. I won, and I won, and I won. And that was fun. The next day, Chris had to take a loan out.
There is so much fun camaraderie over the weekend, definitely.
Go camping.
Yeah, I would definitely second that. And I would add to it, find your little camping family and go camping with them, because you get to know each other and you get to know how to make it all flow really nicely.
And you're communally. Two and you're three and you're four, you are perfecting it the way that it has been perfected in this situation. Yeah. This is really, if you just walk into this situation, you're going to have so much fun because they figured out how to create the fun.
And follow guides, people that do it regularly. Like, that's the thing. Chris and Jessica, they're full-time campers. It's what they do.
And get yourself a green light. Let's bring this episode home with our random question of the week. Next week's our 100th episode.
Next week?
Next week's our 100th episode.
Celebrate good times. Come on. What's your favorite food that connects you to your childhood?
Oh, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think you've answered this many times during the course of the last almost 100 episodes.
Probably.
I felt like my mom cooked a lot. But now that I really analyze it, I'm remembering the random Sunday roast and certainly Christmases and Thanksgivings and that kind of thing.
What you liked was the time she cooked. You just liked that she cooked when she cooked.
She had her favorites. She made fried okra fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's where I learned to like fried okra when I wasn't really a vegetable eater as a kid, because her fried okra was always so small mm-hmm. and almost burnt crispy. Mm-hmm. It was very, very delicious. Mm-hmm. So the meal that she made that really connects me with childhood every single time I recreate it is the chicken fried steak fingers. Mm-hmm. Mashed potatoes, typically, mm-hmm. and green beans. Now, our green mm-hmm. beans, sorry, Mom, were better than my mom's canned green beans. Mm-hmm. No, she made fresh green beans, too. Mm-hmm. And I love the idea that I've passed that meal along to my kids. My kids love that meal, too. Mm-hmm. What's yours?
Well, Mimi was your Wonder Bread sandwich with the Oscar Mayer ham mayonnaise and mustard mixed together.
That's right. Yes, you've said that.
Okay. And then Nanny Barbara, she was chicken and dumplings.
Okay.
And Nanny Dee Dee was pimento cheese.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom was chicken spaghetti. So I have all these different favorite ones from different people.
You had to pick one that just screams childhood.
Chicken and dumplings. But I can't even eat those right now. Which Lily would say the same thing, because that's her favorite too, is chicken and
dumplings. The chicken and dumpling recipe that you have made in a previous grain full life. Mm-hmm. Was that your grandmother's recipe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just dough, like Pillsbury dough. I mean,
but chicken and dumplings, you make your chicken it in wasn't that
even,
broth.
There's not even really a recipe. There was no recipe. It was just like chicken, water, and then biscuit somehow.
But you would take, the way you would do it is you'd buy a box of the Pioneer biscuit mix.
Yeah, and I don't know that that's what my grandmother used. My mom used Pioneer.
Okay, so we have recently used a gluten-free baking mix. It's a one-to-one flour substitution.
We could do that. Yeah.
You want to try that?
Let's give it a try. Lily would love that.
See, this is where the chemistry, the science of it, I'm not as into that as I would want to know. What's the difference between a flour, enriched flour-based baking mix, and then the gluten-free flours?
Well, the thing about chicken and dumplings,
flour and cassava flour, how do those cook in down a broth like that?
Yeah.
Would it be the same?
Because you're creating a gravy with the...
Yeah. So that we'd have to do like a micro batch, so we don't waste a full batch in case it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Do a micro batch.
Okay.
I thought of one more thing. My father's father, when it was his turn to cook breakfast for his young kids, my dad, he would make homemade biscuits, mm-hmm. a big round tin of them, mm-hmm. and then a bowl of peanut butter and syrup mixed together.
Yep. These are the reasons why we are sugar addicts several generations later, because our grandparents fed us like that.
Men and women are different.
Well, yes. Well.
Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.